It's February, which means Valentine's Day and my birthday are right around the corner. It might be the shortest month, but it's the best month. And if you're anything like me, you want the look and feel of luxury without the price tag. And y'all know, Quince is my one-stop shop for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Be still, my little Pisces heart. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices that are totally within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, a favorite of me and Mr. F for sure, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14 karat gold jewelry. And then my newest obsession, their stylish packing cubes that make prepping for a weekend getaway a breeze. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with safe, ethical, and responsible factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, meaning that you can look and feel like $1 million without breaking the bank, something that definitely doesn't happen in MLM. Give yourself the luxury that you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. I know we often talk about big pyramid, but can we talk about big wireless for a second? If after years of overpaying for wireless, you're finally fed up from those wildly high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that actually cost more in the long run, why not switch to Mint Mobile and keep your money where you can see it? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you from big wireless with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number, along with all of your contacts. It's a snap to switch. So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/aftermlm. That's mintmobile.com/aftermlm. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, hun butts and hun bros. I'm out of town because it is my birthday this week, and Mr. F is spoiling me with a little vacation to Santa Barbara. So that's where I'm at. I hope you guys are having a great week as well. Last week, we had our fourth anniversary of the podcast on Valentine's Day. So happy 4 years to Life After MLM. And then the same weekend, our very own Gritty Tulips, or Abby, as some of you may know her, competed in the Miss Lakeside pageant here in town, and she was crowned teen Miss Lakeside first princess. She also got Miss Congeniality, Most Photogenic, and Top Speech. I'm not surprised. She's an incredible kid. So I know a lot of you follow her journey as well. So I wanted to give you an update. There's some pictures on Instagram if you're interested in checking it out. She did fantastic, and we are very, very proud of her. This is another Amway episode. Super excited about this because we're talking about health and wellness as well. We also have a couple trigger warnings. We talk about miscarriage and illness, and there are instances where we talk about vomiting. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. Also, we've got a new mini dive coming up, which I'm very excited about. It was a really fun chat, so stay tuned for that. And also, call to action for anybody who has ever been involved in a Facebook lottery page, any of those groups where you're doing raffles or you're swapping, anything like that, MLM related or not, I would love to talk to you. It's for an upcoming project I'm working on. So hit me up, send me an email. Let's talk Facebook lottery groups. And other than that, have a wonderful week. Enjoy this episode, and we will see you next time. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. We've got another Amway episode, but we're focusing on health and wellness. So there's a little bit of a twist in this, and it's going to be a running theme because the conversations I've been having with people lately, unfortunately, this exact thing keeps coming up. We're going to learn some stuff today. We're adding another piece to the puzzle, and I am welcoming to the show my guest, Mariah. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm like so excited to chat with you. I think I told you I'm a huge fangirl, so I'm excited.
Well, we love an Amway episode here. You told me that, you know, and we'll get into this as your story progresses, but that you first found this podcast, you listened to the Sean Munger episode, and that kind of took you down a little bit of a rabbit hole. And you've much enjoyed the last few months of Amway episodes, feeling very seen and heard and healing.
Yes, yes. Extremely validated for sure in my feelings after leaving, like listening to all these episodes. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's exactly the whole point of all of this. So, it makes me feel so good to know that people are finding it and learning and healing and moving forward. You guys left a year ago, almost exactly.
Yeah, we walked away. The last thing we went to was the New Year's Eve party they had last year. So, going from 2023 to 2024.
And you were in LTD, which is a featured LOA on this show, stands for Leadership Team Development. There's a lot of other episodes about LTD, so that if it sounds familiar, that's why. And you guys joined in 2013, so just a little over 10 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just right around the 10-year mark. Mm-hmm.
So let's start at the beginning. You joined because of your husband, your now husband.
Yeah, yeah. We weren't dating.
Oh, you weren't even dating yet. Okay. We got to get into this story. I've only heard the Reader's Digest of this. I need to know the whole story of this. Okay. So walk me through the family pyramid.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So my husband started in 2013. He was a senior in high school, and he got started because his older brother got started, who then started his sister, who then started my husband, which is Colby. Colby then, you know, graduates high school, goes to college, and is at the same college I'm at. And so we meet, we're friends, whatever. I secretly liked him. He'll say that it was all me. It was totally him, but it's fine. So when I got started, we weren't even like dating yet. We were just kind of friends first for a little bit, I guess, started under him, I guess, how the pyramid goes or whatever. Yeah. And then we started dating, and fast forward, here we are.
Yeah. So in the pyramid, there's the older brother, the sister, your husband, and then you. Mm-hmm. And then when you guys got married, you were absorbed into your husband's team.
Yeah. So they would not let us combine until we were married. That was like a whole rule because they're like, oh, if you break up, then we have to like sign all these papers for the whatever to make sure that it's okay because it's a business or whatever. So yeah, we couldn't combine until we were married. So we built separately, quote unquote, like I said, I was underneath him and I ended up building it myself to, I think I was like 1500 PV and I was like a 310, which I don't know if people know what that means, but basically means you have three people underneath of you and like 10 within your whole team. So I did that by myself, technically. And then we got married and yeah, we absorbed or combined, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
That's really interesting. And I just flash back really quick. The whole 310 thing, That's how it was in LuLaRoe if you wanted to rank to a trainer. From a regular rep to a trainer, you had to have at least three people under you with a total team size of 10.
LTD, like they recognize the whole like 310, 625, 650, 12,100, that kind of 975, 12,100, that kind of thing. They're different like levels. So like 310's like the first one, like you're considered starting to get into that leadership role.
The owners of LuLaRoe, I'm pretty sure that they were involved with Amway early on.
That makes a lot of sense then.
Because I remember the next rank up, I do believe you needed to have at least six people, but I don't know. So it's just kind of strange to see this sort of similar numbers. And this is the first time in 5 years that it's come up. So that's strange. You end up getting married and you do this team together.
Yeah. So we got married pretty young. I was 22. My husband was 21. We get married and we start building this business and we start kind of going through the ranks pretty quick. We're considered part of the leadership team for our part of the LTD where we were. Because if you had 310 and you had 1,000 PV, you were considered part of the leadership team. We were pretty well known and we worked our butts off. We were pretty dang loyal and did just about anything they told us to. Because we were in Iowa where we went to college. And then after we graduated college, we moved to a place in Illinois where our upline was located, our upline Platinum. So we moved to Illinois to be around them. And then our upline decided they're going to move to St. Louis. So we're like, okay, we're moving to St. Louis too because we want to be around you guys. So we left our families and yeah, moved to St. Louis. And granted, my husband's brother and sister moved to St. Louis too, because they were all part of the line of sponsorship. So we all moved to St. Louis, left our parents, and I left my siblings and have been down here for the past 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Just pack it all up. We're moving to St. Louis. Everybody's coming. Figure it out.
Yeah. Looking back now, like, I don't even really remember, like, even thinking about it. It was just like, oh, well, that's where our upline's going, so let's go. I didn't logically like think about it. I should probably talk to my parents and see if this is a good idea. All my friends are up here. My job's up here, like, you know, all up in Iowa. Like, I should probably kind of think about things a little bit more. But no, it was just like, okay, well, I'm going to start applying for jobs in St. Louis and we'll start looking for apartments. And within 2 weeks, we were getting ready to move. It was quick.
Did you feel at that time that your business was doing well enough that moving to in a completely different city was like a sustainable choice?
Yes and no. Where we were at in Illinois, it wasn't a very big town. I mean, 40,000 people, something like that. It had kind of been saturated because our upline Platinums and all of their team was there. So like you could go to Walmart and connect with people. But they might have already been connected with somebody else before that. So it was kind of saturated. So when our upline made the decision, like, hey, we're moving to St. Louis, it's only 2.5 hours south, like, you probably should too if you want to go up in your ranking and all this stuff. So we're like, okay. We just didn't even question it. We're like, oh, well, they think this is going to be a great idea and we're going to go up in our ranking. So why wouldn't we go?
Like a sound business choice because the pickings are slim in this recruitment pool. We need to move to a bigger city.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons that Amway wanted to get in the World Trade Organization is because there was a billion people in China they hadn't recruited yet. So the fact that you guys are moving just a few hours south to St. Louis to have a bigger recruitment pool is like so Amway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard of another MLM, and you guys can, if you're listening, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if there's ever been another MLM aside from Amway that encourages people to completely move to different places. It's kind of strange to be like, we're moving and then everyone's coming with us. And I hear that a lot with Amway, but I don't know if I've ever heard it with other MLMs.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a direct, like, we're moving, so you have to move kind of thing. They kind of manipulated it a little bit where they're like, we're moving to better our future and to better our business because where we are in Illinois, there's not that many more people that we could contact in this town. So we're going to move 2.5 hours south. If you want to, you know, kind of better your business, you might want to think about if you would want to do that too. And like, you know, just kind of like twisted it a little bit. And so my husband and I, we were young. We're like, why not? We didn't have kids yet. We had just gotten married. We had just started our careers outside of college. So we're like, yeah, we could move. Why not?
That's another really good point because a lot of people in Amway get recruited very young, right out of college or high school. They haven't had a lot of life and adult experience yet. And it seems like the perfect time. Like, well, if you're going to move, you might as well move now before you're tied down and your roots are in place. Now would be the time to move.
Exactly. Before you have a house and kids and, you know.
Yeah, it all kind of goes hand in hand where it makes total perfect sense. And you're like, oh my God, yeah, totally, let's go. very interesting. So you get to St. Louis and you hit the ground running. Was it biting?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely more people here. And like I said, my husband and I, we were very loyal. Like, you told us to do something, we were doing it. As soon as they brought the process, the new process, as soon as that was brought in, like, we were studying those audios, we were reading those books, we're like, we're going to figure this out. So yeah, I mean, we grew pretty quick. Like, we started growing and we were pretty well known in the, you know, the group that was down here. So yeah, everything started going well. And then, you know, we kind of had some rocky things happen in 2018 that it was kind of like, whoa, like, what's going on? And part of that, I think you wanted to talk about, was like the health thing.
Yeah.
With the Crohn's and everything. So,
yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to ask you a question about recruiting in a new town. So Amway's really big on kind of throwing you into weird situations.
Oh, yeah.
To sort of like fish for people to be like, what are you doing? So what were some of the hot recruitment spots in St. Louis when you guys got there?
This is going to sound so funny. One was Target, because where we came from, there was not a Target. And Target's kind of like the classier Walmart, you know. So Target was a big one. But my husband and I, like, we liked to really mix it up. And we didn't have kids at the time. So it was just like, let's go explore. We would go to like farmers markets. We would go to the St. Louis Zoo. And we would just like kind of graze and be around people. And if we saw people looking at animals for a long time, you know, we'd kind of walk over and start a conversation. And we liked to kind of push the envelope a little bit. We didn't like to be stuck in stores all the time.
Imagine going to the zoo and getting recruited for Amway.
I'm like horrified that we did it, to be honest.
Okay. So you said in around 2018, things started to get a little wonky. Your husband's health comes into play here.
Yeah. We had a couple of situations happen in 2018 that kind of rocked our world a little bit, but because we persevered through them, we were praised. So we thought we were doing the great thing. Fast forward 2018, February, we have our son, and I ended up having like a pretty big health issue with him. I ended up having him 2 months early.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was born pretty premature. He was only like 3 pounds when he was born. We were in the NICU for a little bit with him. Looking back now, I'm like, why did I do that? But we were in the NICU with him for a month, and we still had our weekly meetings on Tuesdays. Here I was, leaving my tiny infant on Tuesdays to go to my weekly info class because I didn't want to be reprimanded for not going.
Wow.
So I would literally go to the hospital and see him, and then I'd turn around, go home, get changed in my business clothes, and then go to the meeting and act like everything's fine.
Oh my God. I was also a NICU mom.
Really? I did not know that.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Having to take off the worried mom outfit for the day and put on the Amway recruiter LTD member outfit and go to these meetings. Your baby's in the hospital. And it's still like, yeah, but you got to be here.
I think what irritates me now, looking back, is like, was it Stefan and Jenna or somebody talked about like the rules they have where you can't pass negative, right? So like, even if stuff wasn't going well, like with our baby in the hospital, like I had to pretend that things were fine. I'd go to the board plan. And like I said, like people knew us, like we were pretty well known, like we had a pretty decent team. So they would come up to us. Oh, how's everything going? How's the baby? He's doing great. We can't believe how big he's getting. Like, all, you know, I had to like fake it basically.
It's so isolating because not only are you worried about your baby, but all of these people saw you pregnant. All of these people knew the baby was coming. The baby comes. The baby's in the NICU. These are your people. This is your community. This is your tribe, right? You moved to St. Louis to be here together, and you can't even be real with them. You have to pretend everything's fine instead of saying, yeah, I'm having a problem. Yes, the baby's sick or whatever. Like, you're having to pretend that everything's okay, and it's not okay.
That's one thing that my husband and I say now after leaving is like how fake it was and how fake we were. Those were our friends, but they never really got like the full us because we had to pretend to be like happy and perfect all the time.
Yeah, they're your friends, but they're not. Everything but. We only want to hear the good stuff. We only want to hear the successes. We don't want to hear about the pesky things. Nobody likes being a downer. Nobody wants to pay to see your sadness. You know, like, we only want the happy times. And that just really sucks because like, you uprooted everything, you put everything in, and this is sort of this fake life that you have to live. So your son's in the NICU. You're still going to all these meetings on Wednesdays. What happens next?
Fast forward a few months. So our son is like 7, 8 months old, something like that. And my husband starts getting sick to the point where he's in a lot of pain and he's just like vomiting nonstop. And we could not figure out what was going on, like could not figure it out. Well, it got to a point where there was one weekend we were actually up in Iowa visiting family, and his brother and sister were there also. And we were all at his grandma's house. My husband woke up in the middle of the night and he's just like in horrible pain, just vomiting, like crying because he's in so much pain. And my husband like does not cry. Like he doesn't really show like emotion like that. Like he does not cry. So he's like crying because he's in so much pain. Me and my sister-in-law decide we need to take him to the ER. Like something is seriously wrong. Like we got to go. So my sister-in-law and I drive him. So his sister, we drive him to the ER and we get there and they're like, you have a bowel obstruction. Like you need to have surgery soon. And my husband's like, well, I'm not doing this in the middle of Iowa at this hospital. Like I'm not, we don't live here. Like I'm not going to get stuck here for a few weeks. Like I'm not doing that. And so they were like, well, we can ambulance you to a hospital in Quincy and you can go there. And he's like, no, he's like, I don't want to do that. I want to get back to St. Louis. If I have to have surgery and I'm going to be in the hospital for a couple weeks, I want to be able to get to St. Louis. The ER basically was like, okay, well, here's what we can do for you. We can give you pain meds to kind of push off the pain until you get to this hospital in St. Louis. And then when you get there, you need to go straight in. We'll call them. You need to tell them who you are. They'll have a room. We'll notify you. We'll let you know what room. And then we need to get this like basically going. And he's like, okay, me and my sister-in-law, we take him back to his grandma's house. I load up in the car with him and his brother and his wife. I leave our baby with my sister-in-law because she was like, I'll follow you guys. I'll get, because they had a kid too. She's like, I'll get our kid and your kid. We'll put him in our car. We'll follow you there. You just drive and get him there. So his brother's driving, I mean, driving like a madman to get him to St. Louis. So we get him to St. Louis, get him to the Lake St. Louis Hospital, and they check in, go up to the room, and they're like, yeah, you have a bad bowel obstruction. Like, you need surgery. There's no way around it. Like, you gotta have, we gotta have surgery, like, tomorrow. And he's like, okay, like, I didn't realize that things were that bad. So he ends up going into surgery the next day, and he has 17 centimeters of his small intestine removed.
Oh my God.
Because it was just so inflamed. Yeah. So they remove it. He ended up having an ileostomy bag for 8 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. Looking back now, I'm like, how did this even happen? Like, like how did it get that bad? Like, we didn't know.
Well, this is, you're 5 years into Amway.
Yeah.
Were you guys just consuming all the Amway products?
Oh, yeah. When I say that we were loyal, we were loyal. If we could buy the product from our business, we were going to. We weren't going to go to Walmart or Target or wherever.
Unless it was to recruit.
Yeah, unless it was to recruit. You know, like things you can't get from Amway, like cat food and stuff like that. Their hair stuff, their makeup, their vitamins, their energy drinks, all of it.
Did he ever have any gut health issues prior to joining Amway and consuming their products?
No. So like growing up, he never had any issues ever. So like that's what was so strange to us.
Okay. So 5 years into Amway, consuming the products, getting rid of all negative products in your life and consuming all Amway products that you can. He has a massive bowel obstruction, has to have a complete bowel resectioning of his small intestines, has to have a stoma for several weeks to heal. And is he at this point diagnosed with Crohn's disease?
Yes. So this is when they had diagnosed him with Crohn's.
Okay.
Prior to everything, like we, you know, we didn't know what was going on or whatever. And then after, like when they were doing the surgery and they removed everything, they obviously like did biopsies of everything to like see what was going on because they couldn't figure out why it was so inflamed. And yeah, that's when they told us like, you have Crohn's disease. That was Crohn's disease that we removed from you. That was all inflamed ulcers that were lining your intestine.
And for anybody listening who's not familiar with Crohn's disease, what, aside from that, does it entail?
So basically, it's an inflammation of your intestine. And when it gets so inflamed, you have like ulcers. And basically, what was happening with my husband is he had a bowel obstruction. So his ulcers got so inflamed that he was not able to go to the bathroom. So he was literally vomiting everything. So like nothing can go the way it's supposed to go. So he's just throwing everything up.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty painful, obviously.
I don't know if you know this or not, but our laundry room is in our basement. It's down a tight flight of stairs that freaks me out even when I'm not taking down heavy loads of dirty clothes with me. Switching out our heavy, big box store sized plastic tubs and bottles for our EarthBreeze eco-friendly plastic-free envelopes has eliminated not only extra weight heading down those stairs, but also cuts down on our plastic waste. We are a house that recycles, and you'd think that those bottles would be easily recyclable, but 500 million of them end up in landfills and oceans every single year. That alone is an incredible incentive to switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. It's an easy way to get amazingly clean clothes without all that plastic waste, delivered right to your door. Get 40% off EarthBreeze when you sign up for auto shipments at earthbreeze.com/MLM. That's earthbreeze.com/MLM. If you have young kids like me, a new year is another chance to do all of the amazing things that you didn't get to do the year before. That epic family trip, an incredible themed party, checking off a bucket list item, or dare I say it, another year closer to getting a phone. With the power of phones today, when it was time to get Abby one, I was pretty nervous about it. I have to be chronically online for my job, and I've seen some of the worst of the worst when it comes to content that comes across kids' feeds. Luckily, with Gab, there's a less nerve-wracking way. No social media apps, no internet browser, and GPS tracking. Gab devices were built specifically to keep kids and teens safely connected. They are the leader in safe phones and watches for kids, teens, and tweens, and it's easy to see why. As a parent, the Gab Companion app is a lifesaver. With parental controls, message monitoring, safe zones, and usage logs, you can manage their devices and monitor their location without ever having to bother them. And on Abby's watch, focus mode comes in handy when she's prepping and studying for not only school, but all of her extracurriculars too. Right now, Gab is offering $25 off any device with no contract required. Just go to gab.com/MLM to get started. That's Gab, GABB.com/MLM. Gab.com/MLM. Terms and conditions apply.
So when you came back to the meetings and you're going to all these things again and he's healing, was there any messaging from people like, oh, you really need to double down on the Nutrilite, or you really need to be, he needs to be taking the best of the best and healing? Was there anything like that?
There was a little bit of that where people are like, oh, is he taking this vitamin? It's good for gut health. Is he doing this one? Like, it's good for this, or, you know, and obviously we were like, well, yeah, we take all the vitamins. Like, why wouldn't we, you know? And like when we went back to our meetings, like we weren't allowed to talk negatively. So it was like, oh, how's everything going? Oh, he's great. You know, because I went to a meeting. He missed one because he was in the hospital, but I went. I had to go. And he was in the hospital for, I think, a week after that one. After that surgery, he was in the hospital for a week. And not once did any of our upline go see him, besides his brother and his sister, obviously. But like our people that were, there was two other couples above that we were really close to. They were in our wedding. Like we were close, or we thought we were. They did not come see him. Nothing. They just kind of were like, oh, we'll see you at the meeting. And so then I went to the meeting. But it's like, looking back now, I'm kind of like, why didn't they come see him? Why didn't they check in with me? Like I'm living in a town where we don't have any family. I have a baby who's 7 months old that I'm trying to take care of. I was working full time and my husband's in the hospital. Why was nobody trying to come and help me out? You know?
It's like so much for the community that you thought you had. So how long was it until your husband kind of got healed and was feeling better and wasn't having as many flare-ups?
So he had the ileostomy bag for 8 weeks and then he had to go back and have another surgery to have it reversed. And he was in the hospital again for another week. And then he came home and was, you know, taking vitamins, you know, like you're supposed to. But he also, because his Crohn's was so bad, he actually had to go do Remicade infusions every 4 weeks. So it's kind of like a cancer infusion. So he would go to an infusion center and he would sit there for 3 hours and get this medicine injected into him. And then he'd come home because it was supposed to help with the Crohn's. One, it was time consuming because it took a couple hours, but you know, he would come home and he'd just be completely drained. I'm thankful for insurance because the medicine was $16,000 each time. So he did that every 4 weeks for about a year and a half. Again, nobody from our upline like checked in on him when he was doing those, like, hey, how you doing? Can I come sit with you while you're doing that? Like nothing. You know, they'd ask me like, where is he at? I'm like, oh, he's, you know, getting his infusion. Oh, okay. Like,
what rank were you guys at this point?
I think we had just hit 2,500 PV.
So you're still recruiting, you're still building, you're still selling while also having to deal with all of this stuff too.
Yeah, I was praised for it. Like we'd go to the meetings and it was like, they'd use our situation as like an excuse remover. So like, here's Mariah, like she has this 8-month-old baby and her husband's sick with this disease and she's working a full-time job, but she can still go out and connect and hit her goals. Like, why can't you? She's removing these excuses. Why can't you remove that? Yeah, they used it. So it made me feel good, right? Because I'm like, oh, okay, they're praising me. But at the same time, it's like, were they? Or were they using it so that it would kind of like manipulate other people and make them work harder so that they would go up in rank? I just look back and I think about things now.
But did anybody actually know what was going on or did they only know the positive?
They knew that Colby had Crohn's. And they knew that he had to get like medicine for it, but they did not know the extent and the intensity of what it was. The only people who saw it like me was his brother and his sister, and that's because they're family. But like when he would go, he'd go to these infusions, he'd be gone for 3 hours, he'd come home, he'd have to take a whole day off of work. So like screw any vacation time, because by the time he did these infusions and then you had to save your vacation time for, you know, conferences and stuff, like he didn't have any. But like he'd come home and he'd just be completely exhausted for like the next day and a half. And so it was like I had to pick up like the slack, basically. They always say like if your partner's down, then you need to be up. You both can't be down at the same time. He was down, you know, sick, not feeling good. So he'd stay home with our baby and like I'd go out and connect with people and like do what I was supposed to do, you know, to move forward.
Wow. So let's fast forward. Is his Crohn's managed? Is he doing all right a few years after the surgery?
Yeah. So he did the infusions for about a year and a half. And then we had gotten on a new insurance and the new insurance we had did not cover the Remicade. So they were like, oh, we're going to switch you to Humira, which is like another one that you can do for infusions. And he was talking with his GI specialist. He's like, well, what if I just like don't? What if I just kind of like watch my diet and like manage things and like just kind of see how it goes? Because the thing with Crohn's and with those medications is once you start one and if you switch to another one, you can't go back to that previous one because your body starts to build up an immune to it. So if he switched from Remicade and went to Humira, he could never go back to Remicade. And there's only a handful of medications you can use for infusions. So like if you go through all of them and you're only in your 40s, like what do you do for the rest of your life? You know what I mean?
So he decided to sort of try to control it with vitamins and diet and all of that.
Yeah. And that was not very successful because, you know, he was still taking the Nutrilite vitamins and everything. There'd be times where like he would have a flare and he would literally be like in our living room sitting there and he'd look at me and he goes, I'm going to get sick. And he'd take off running down the hallway and like go to our bathroom and like basically be puking and like be puking up blood. Like it wasn't good. And that's when we knew like, okay, you got to go to the hospital because you're having a flare and like your body's not passing things. So then I would load up our baby and load him up in the car and I'd drive him to the hospital and like he'd be there for 4 to 5 days. I almost had it calculated. I'm like, okay, well, I'll be back here on Thursday to get you because that's how long it takes your body to pass these flares, basically. So he would get admitted. So he'd go in through the ER. They would do all their things and then they'd admit him and he'd be upstairs in a room and he would be on, you can have no food, no drink. And he'd be on like IV steroids to calm down all the ulcers and everything that were swelling. So he'd be on IV steroids and just like fluid. And he'd be that way for 4 or 5 days, almost every single time. And this happened, I mean, the year of 2020 to 2021, He was in the hospital for 60 days. Now, not consecutively, it was split up, but like 60 days he was in the hospital. He would have these flares. And I just, you know, I just did what I had to do. So I would just, as soon as he'd tell me like, hey, I think we need to go to the hospital, like I would pack his bag. I knew exactly what he'd want in his bag. I would load up our toddler and our baby, because we had a baby at that point too. And we would just go, and I'd take him to the hospital, and he'd go into the ER, and I'd be like, okay, well, I guess, you know, I'll see you in a few days. And there were times where like his sister or his brother, they would come over and they would like watch my two kids so that I could go see him for like an hour, but not the other two couples in our upline that were like, we were super close to that we thought would, you know?
Now, sometime in 2021 or so, 2022, your husband's brother and his wife, who are your upline, decide to leave the business.
Yeah.
What did that look like?
Really weird. Now, looking back, they walked away, I think it was 2021. They went to we called them board plans, or, you know, group evaluation or whatever it is. It's basically just the weekly meeting. That's all it is. They went to that board plan and we saw them. We talked to them. We're like, hey, you know, how are you? Obviously, because we're upline and whatever and downline and related. And then afterwards, so you do the board plan and then you have like a teaching session after, right? Well, there's like a gap in between. There's like a 20-minute gap. They left. They just like left. And like, we didn't think anything of it. We were just like, oh, they must have went out to their car for something, or maybe they weren't feeling good or something like that. Like, we didn't know. We didn't think anything of it. Fast forward to the next week, they weren't there. And we were like, that's weird. Like, where are they at? Like, what in the world? So we went and asked our uplines. We'll just call them J and K. We went and asked them. We're like, hey, where's so-and-so? Where's Cody and Maggie? Like, where did they go? And they're like, oh, don't worry about that. We'll talk about it later. Like, let's get ready for the meeting. And we're like, okay. Like, whatever. That was weird. But yeah, basically, so after that meeting, J and K, you know, got with us afterwards and they were like, yeah, they just decided that they wanted to walk away. They just gave up on their dreams, you know, whatever. They just gave up on everything and they just decided to walk away. And we were like, okay. Like, it was so weird for us because like, that was my husband's brother. So like, they were close. We were close. So it was really weird. But like, we were so sold out to our upline that we're like, okay, whatever. I guess they're losers. They gave up on their dream. Guess we won't talk to them and hang out with them as much, you know? And we were encouraged not to talk and hang out with them as much. So it was really weird. Like, we used to see them all the time. Like, we used to like hang out on the weekends and like have game nights and all this stuff. And like, since they quit business, like we were discouraged from like basically doing that. So the only time we really saw them after that was like holidays.
Did they ever bring it up or answer questions, or did you guys ever talk about like, why did you leave?
This past year when my husband and I left. Yeah, we talked about it. Mm-hmm.
That was the first time that you talked about it, was when you guys were deciding to leave?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. What an elephant in the room at Christmas.
Oh, so awkward. We would see them at, you know, yeah, like Christmas and stuff. And, you know, they would casually ask like, oh, how's business going? How's everything going? And like my husband and I, we were sold out to everything. We're like, it's great. So and so and this and this. And like we were so positive about everything because we were brainwashed to be that way. And so we didn't talk about it. We didn't ask them, like, why did you leave? Like, what happened? Like, we didn't ask because we were discouraged not to. And our upline told us, like, hey, when you see them at, you know, Christmas or whatever, don't give them any negative. Don't feed them any negative. Like, make sure you make it positive. And so we did. Like, even if we weren't feeling that great, we made it positive. Yeah.
Wow. Because they knew that you were going to see, because you're related. They're brothers. And so they, like, preemptively were like, make sure you tell them how great it is and like everything they're missing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That's wild.
Yeah.
When did you guys decide to finally take a step back? Like, what happened? Because obviously you're not talking to the brother about this. You didn't have that conversation until after this decision. So walk me through this decision of like, I don't think Amway's for us anymore.
Okay. Well, there was a couple of things. So I'll kind of walk you through all of them. October of 2023. I had just had a miscarriage at 10 weeks along. We were pretty devastated because we had been trying for another baby. This would be our third.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I've healed now from it, but it was on a Monday is when I had the miscarriage. And I, you know, probably one of the most painful things I've ever been through in my entire life. But basically our upline was just like, do you need anything? Like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't even know how to process this. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling right now. I was like, I just basically feel sad and I just feel empty and like, I don't know what to do. So this was on a Monday that I had this happen. Tuesday is our weekly meetings. Okay. And they were like, well, are we going to see you tomorrow at the weekly meeting? And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you're going to be there, right? And I was like, I guess. And they're like, well, I mean, it'd be weird if you're not, you know, you're considered a leader in the room. And like, you could use this story later on when you get on stage, you could use this story. Like, you just had a miscarriage, but look at, you were at the meeting the next day. So I was like, okay, I guess. And they were like, but remember, we don't talk negative to our downline. So like, you don't need to be going around telling everybody what's happened. Don't be sharing. Don't be like letting everybody know what happened.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And they're like, just, you know, just go in and be your happy self, your sunshine self. If you feel sad or whatever, just go to the bathroom. Like, just be your sunshine self. I'm like, okay. So I get off the phone with them.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. I told you it was twisted.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
Yeah, now. Yeah. Yeah. But like, I didn't really know how wrong that was. Now I do. But like, during it, I was just like, okay, I mean, they love me. They have my best interests at heart. So like, I got to listen to them. Got off that phone call with them and I looked at my husband and I was like, okay, I'm going to go tomorrow. Like, I'm just going to sit in the back so that if I got to step out, you know, I can, and all the things. And I did. I literally went that next day to that board plan, still like in pain, still kind of like passing things. I just sat in the back. I even had people come up to me because I do have a bubbly personality. I'm pretty outgoing and I'm pretty funny. And like, so I even had some people come up to me and they're like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I just don't really feel that great. Like, I'm fine. It's fine. Like, I just played it off.
Wow. That's probably one of the most like abhorrent things I've ever heard an MLM do. I am so sorry that that happened to you.
Thank you. It's okay. I mean, I look back now and I'm like, but like I said, we were just so loyal that like, I didn't think about things for myself. They have my best interest at heart. So why wouldn't I listen to them? That was one of the main things that kind of turned us off. But then there was a situation where it was like around Thanksgiving and my husband and I, we got invited to our upline Platinum's house. We'll just call them A&E. We got invited to their house and they invited us over for brunch. And so we brought our two kids. They have kids and like our kids all got along and they're like, let's have brunch. Let's game plan. Like whatever. We're like, okay, cool. Like, thanks for the time on your calendar. Like, you know, whatever. And we get there and they're like asking us like, so what's your plans for the holidays? Like, what are you guys going to do? And, you know, we were like, oh, we're going to actually take off this whole next week and we're going to go see my family who live in Iowa, who's about 4.5 hours away. We're going to go see them because we haven't seen them in a while. And like, we just want to spend time with them. And so my mom obviously wanted to see me and like hug me and make sure I'm okay and everything. And so we were telling them that and they kind of in a manipulative, not manipulative way were like, yeah, we don't go do that anymore because their family also lives in Iowa, but their family is only 2.5 hours away, whereas ours is like 4. They're like, yeah, we don't really go do that anymore. Like if they want to see us and our kids, they can come to us. But like, we're not taking that time out of our business to like travel and go see them anymore because it's a waste. And I was just like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, you're not going to go see your family? And she's like, no, I just don't want to spend the gas and the time and like the time away from building our business. Like if they want to come see our kids, they can come see us. But like, we're not going to travel up there anymore. And I was just like, okay, like good for you. Like I just kind of dropped it. But I remember leaving their house and I told my husband this conversation. I was like, I just had the weirdest conversation. Like she kind of told me this and he was like, yeah, he kind of told me the same thing. My husband and I, we were kind of just like, do you think they were telling us that on purpose because they don't want us taking this whole next week out to go see our family? Like, do you think that's why they were saying those things to us? And he was like, kind of seems that way. I was like, yeah, yeah, it does. I was like, I don't care. Like, we're still going to go see my family. He's like, yeah, no, let's go. So we did. So that was another thing that happened in like November. And then fast forward to in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we had a certain upline diamond come down and he showed the plan and then he took out the leadership team to dinner. We went to dinner afterwards. So like a night owl. So like the leadership team considered where we were, you had to be 310 and you had to have 1,000 PV. And then you were considered on the leadership team. Well, at this point, my husband and I, we have like a 625 business. We're, you know, 6,000 PV. We were quote unquote supposed to be the next platinums, whatever. And so obviously we were going. So we go to the night owl and I'll never forget it. This one person asked our upline diamond, because this diamond, he went diamond in 2020. Obviously 2020 was COVID, so he didn't get recognized till 2021. So we're there and this certain person asked our upline diamond, like, what is your goal for 2024? Like, what's your goal? And he said, solidifying diamond. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, what do you mean solidifying diamond? You've been diamond for 2 years. Like, what is going on? And it just, I found it so strange, but I didn't say anything because I'm not about to speak out in front of a whole table of people and ask that. So I remember getting in the car with my husband and I was like, did you catch that? And he's like, I was going to ask you the same thing. Like, what do you think he meant by that? And I was like, I don't know. Like, that is so weird. Like, he's been diamond for 2 years. What does he mean solidifying diamond? Like, is he still going out and like meeting people and getting numbers? Is he still hosting like personal meetings for himself? Like, is it not done? Like, what? We didn't know what to think. We were like, this is weird. Yeah. So that happened.
At what point did you have the conversation with your brother-in-law and sister-in-law?
Christmas comes around and my husband's parents rented a cabin on Lake of the Ozarks. So we all went, you know, my husband's sister and her husband and their kids, my husband's brother and his wife and their kid, us and our kids, and then my husband's parents. So we're all in this house for a week, this cabin on the Lake of the Ozarks. And I remember before we left, we had a conversation with our upline platinums A&E, and they were like, just be careful, you know, you're gonna go and be around your family for a whole week, and like, you know who's gonna be there, and like, obviously they're not in business anymore, so like, you know, be careful, like, just weird stuff. So we were like, okay, like, whatever, you know, like, okay. So we go, and there was one night where it was just me and my sister-in-law, Maggie. We were sitting in the hot tub. And I had been kind of having weird feelings like for 6 months now at this point. But I hadn't said anything to my husband about it because, you know, if I'm down, I'm not supposed to bring him down. So like I hadn't said anything to him about like what I had been feeling. But I was just sitting in the hot tub with my sister-in-law, Maggie. And I was like, Maggie, I just want to talk to you. And I just want you to be real with me. I'm having weird feelings about the business. Like stuff is just weird, things are happening, like they're not really acting like they care. You know, Colby and I, we had to drop back on our ditto a little bit because of finances, because of the whole job thing. Like, I just don't know what to think anymore. And we sat and talked in that hot tub for like 3 hours. And she was like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. She's like, obviously, you know, we haven't been involved for a couple of years. So like, I don't know how things are now, but she's like, here's my perspective on things. But then she was like, I'm going to give you a couple links to some podcasts and I want you to listen to them and then tell me what you think. And I was like, okay. And that is when she sent me your link with Sean Munger. And then there was one other, I don't remember which one it was, but she sent me two that were about Amway from you. I just remember listening to them and I was just like, oh my God, I'm in a cult. Like, what? Like, I was so mind blown. I was like flabbergasted. I was like, no. And I called her and I was like, Maggie, I was like, am I in a cult? Like, what is going on? And she's like, ah, you listened to the audios, didn't you? Or the podcast. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I did.
Oops.
And she was like, yeah. I was like, oh my God. And at this point, my husband didn't know that I had this conversation with my sister-in-law, and he didn't know that she gave me this podcast. So like, he didn't know that I had figured this all out. So he's still kind of like in this kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out of the business. Whereas I'm like, I'm jumped out and I'm on the other side and I'm like, holy crap, what is going on? And I told Maggie, I was like, Maggie, what do I do? And she's like, you need to talk with Colby. You need to tell him, you need to have him listen to these audio or these podcasts. I keep calling them audios. God, get that out of my brain. That's an old word from the biz. They call them audios. But anyway, she's like, you need to have him listen to these podcasts. And I was like, okay. And so I did. I talked to my husband. I was like, Colby, you know, like we've been feeling these weird things. All this stuff has happened. You need to listen to these. Like, I had this conversation with Maggie. You need to listen to these podcasts. And then we need to talk.
This episode is brought to you by Peacock. The new Peacock original documentary, Matthew Perry, A Hollywood Tragedy, dives deep into the beloved actor's rise to fame and his tragic death. Five people, including Perry's personal assistant, two medical doctors, and an alleged Hollywood drug dealer known as the Ketamine Queen, were charged with conspiracy to illegally provide Perry with the ketamine. Explore the details of the case in this heartbreaking special, streaming now only on Peacock.
Lowe's knows that free is just better. That's why Mylow's Rewards is free to join. As a member, you earn points towards Mylow's money on eligible purchases, get exclusive free gifts, and earn free shipping at Silver Key status, all on top of weekly member-only deals. Don't wait. Join Mylow's Rewards for free today and start saving more. Lowe's. We help. You save. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
And he's like, okay. Like, he was kind of like, what is going on? Like, why are you being so weird? And he did. So then he listened to him and he was like, oh, he's like, we're in a cult. And I was like, yes. So then he was like, what do we do? And I was like, I don't really know. And I was just like in complete shock. Like, I had no idea that that's how things were. Like, you're told that they don't make money off of those events. So you think that they don't. And these people have the best pure intentions. So, like, why would they lie to you? So he listened to him and he's like, babe, like, what in the actual heck? Like, is this true? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I am in just as much shock as you are. And he was like, I don't even know what to do. He's like, I've been feeling like kind of down and all this. And I was like, me too. But like, we hadn't talked about it because you know, you're not supposed to. If your spouse is down, then you have to be up. So like, we hadn't had this conversation of like, hey, I'm not feeling good about business. You're not feeling good about business. Like, let's step away. We just kept having like these weird situations happen where it was kind of like, that was a little weird, but okay. Like, you know, with the whole conversation about like not going and seeing our family and like the whole diamond and what he said at the night owl. Like, we had these weird things, but we weren't ever like, hey, I'm feeling this way. I don't know that I want to continue. Like, we never said that to each other. Cause like, no, we weren't going to. Fast forward, he listens to your podcast with Sean Munger, and then I forget what the other one was, but I'll have to look. But we listened to those, and he was like, yeah, I've been feeling really weird about things. This just solidifies what I've been feeling. Like, I don't know that we need to pursue. I was like, I don't know that we need to either. So this was like right after Christmas. So our team, like the team that we were a part of, does like a New Year's Eve get together every year where they like rent out like a gym or like a church and you go and you play like board games or volleyball or whatever. Well, this year, so 2023 going to 2024, so it was the new year, they had rented out a gym and we had already said we were going. Crap, what do we do? So we talked. We were literally driving to this gym and we were talking and we were like, you know what? Let's just go. Let's just go see everybody. Let's just talk. And if we are still feeling weird after going and hanging out with everybody, if we're still feeling weird after all this, then let's just be done. And I was like, okay, that's fair. So we go and we go to the gym and we're hanging out. And like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, hardly anybody came up and talked to us. Just our uplines, like A&E and like J&K, like they came and talked to us a little bit, but like, it wasn't like what it was. Like, nobody was like buddy buddy, like coming over and talking to us. It was just so weird. Like, we were just like, what is going on? Like, this is weird. Like, we know all these people, like half the people in here are on our team. Like, what? Like, why are they not? We couldn't figure it out. And I just didn't feel good. And like, even when I was talking with our Upline Platinums and like hanging out with them, like, it just felt forced. Like, it felt like they had to talk to me because I was a part of their team. It felt like they were tolerating me, kind of. And I was just like, what is going on? They're not over here because they want to be over here.
So you're in this situation with both sides. You've heard both sides of the story.
But we had already committed to going to this New Year's Eve party. So we were like, well, let's just go, I guess, you know, like, let's just go and just see how we're feeling after. So we went and, you know, it was just weird. Like, everything felt forced. Like, nobody was like genuine talking to us. Like, it was just so strange. My husband and I left and we get in the car and I'm like, I just look at him and I go, how do you feel about things? And he's like, honestly, I'm done. I'm like, me too. I'm like, let's be done. He's like, okay, but we're good people. And like I said, we were loyal people. We were pretty well known. We had a pretty decent sized team. So like, we weren't just going to be like peace and like not show up and say anything to anybody. Like, we wanted to go about it the right way. So we ended up texting our uplines A and E, who were above his brother and sister. And then there was a couple in between. So there was A and E, J and K, and then his brother and his sister-in-law. So that's how it went. We were getting mentored, though, by A&E. We texted A&E and we're like, hey, we'd love to get some time on your schedule. We just want to chat about some things. We're kind of feeling a little weird. Like, we just want to talk to you guys. Like, we just need to have a sit down. We want to talk. We want to get in person and just chat. They, like, weirdly kept blowing us off. Like, they were like, oh, yeah, we're really busy this week. We'll make some time, blah, blah, blah. We're like, okay. And we were consistent about texting them. We're like, hey, can we get together? Hey, we have time available Saturday. Can we chat? Can we get together? Can we come over for an hour? Like, anything. And they were like, oh, yeah. So we actually had a meet, like a time booked. And then literally earlier in that day, they were like, oh, hey, something come up. We can't get together. And we're just like, okay, can we do a FaceTime? Like, can we talk on FaceTime? Like, we just want to talk. And they're like, oh, not tonight. That's not going to work. And we're just like, what the heck? So they kept like blowing us off and they just kept doing it. And so finally, we were just like, you know what? We're just going to stop going to the weekly meetings. And if they want to know why, they'll reach out. We're just done. We're done. And so we did. We stopped paying for our dittos. We stopped paying for the apps and we quit going to the weekly meetings. And it was literally that next week that we didn't show up that A ended up calling my husband and was like, hey, buddy, like, how are you? Like, what's going on? Like, all this stuff, like, acting real weird, like really buddy. And like him and my husband, like they got along, but like they weren't the best of friends. So he calls my husband while my husband's at work and is like, hey, what's going on? We noticed that you guys weren't at the meeting last night. Your ditto's not there. Like, what's going on? And my husband's like, well, you know, we wanted to get with you and wanted to talk with you guys and have this conversation in person and let you know that we've decided that like we're done. We're walking away. We can't do this anymore. And he just like blew my husband off. He was like, really? Like, you're seriously, you're going to walk away? Like, you're going to give up on all of this? Like, just got kind of rude. I can't believe you. Like, I can't believe you're going to walk away and give up on you and your dream and like your family and like your kids need you and like just trying to like pile it on. And my husband's just like, yeah, we're done. He's just like, I'm done. We tried to have this conversation in person. You didn't give us the time of day. Sorry. And A actually hung up on my husband. Like, he was just like, bye, and hung up.
Well, I mean, you tried to contact them and they didn't seem very upline mentor. They should have taken your calls. This is a consequence of their actions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We tried for like a week and a half to get time with them because we wanted to do it the right way. We wanted to talk to them in person. We didn't want to be those people because we respected them. These were people that we have been friends with since we were 18 and 19 years old. They were in our wedding. Like, we loved these people. Like, we were like, if we're going to leave, we're going to do it on the right way. How we were going to leave it was, hey, you know, like, we just don't want to be involved in business anymore. Like, it's X, Y, and Z. It's kind of hurting us this way. Things are not looking the way we want it to. But we still want to remain friends because our children were friends with their children. So we were like, we're so good to be friends. We just don't want to pursue this anymore. That's how we were going to leave things. No, not anymore. After he hung up on my husband, it was like, okay, we're done. Like, clearly you don't care. You've shown that time and time again.
It's true. They have. They've shown it time and time again. This is just the final straw. So you leave Amway. And you leave this horrific upline who obviously was not very supportive or very caring, which, again, we've heard many times as being the case. And you stop using the Amway products. I'm assuming you were drinking excess.
Oh, yeah.
Taking Neutralite.
Yep.
Were you using Glister?
Oh, yeah. That stuff sucks.
Really? My boyfriend really wants a tube of that. So bad to try.
Really?
Yeah, for the weirdest reason.
Oh, no.
Not that he wants to support MLM, y'all. He hates MLM. But he hears it so often that he's like, I kind of want to try it. I think this is like his intrusive thought. So if anybody has a tube of Glister, I will gladly pay for what you paid for it so that he can try it. It's just weird. But yeah, I don't know what it is. He just, He just loves that freaking glister. I don't know.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. I'm assuming it is. I just, for me, I just really want to be like, I told you it would be bad. So you guys stop the dittos. You stop the product. You stop taking the Nutrilite.
Yeah.
What happens to your husband's gut health?
So this is what is the really crazy thing. He stopped taking the vitamins. He was no longer doing his infusions because he quit those 2 years ago. So he stopped taking the vitamins. Now, granted, in those 2 years, he had had flares where he'd end up in the hospital. He stopped taking the vitamins, and all of a sudden, like, he's not having flare-ups anymore. He's not having, like, gut issues where he's, like, in excruciating pain and has to go to the hospital and, like, is throwing up everywhere. We haven't been to the hospital in, like, a year and a half now. He just quit. And, like, looking back now, we're just like, oh my God, was that causing it? And funny thing is, we actually, I think it was like 3 months ago, we still had some of the products like up in our pantry because we just hadn't thrown them away yet because I hadn't cleaned that out. And my husband's like, I just want to try it. I just want to try this and see if that's what it really, really was. Like, I just want to try one of these vitamins and just see. And I'm like, go for it. So he does. He takes a vitamin. A few hours later, he's like, yeah, my stomach hurts. Now, it wasn't to the point where he's like, I got to go to the hospital, but he's like, yep, stuff hurts. I'm like, oh my God. That's really what it was. That was what was causing his flare-ups. And now that he hasn't done it in months, like, he's not been in the hospital. He's not had, like, any gut issues or anything.
It's just wild to me because MLMs, like, love to tout that their products are the best products ever, the cleanest ingredients, the most pure-sourced everything. And it's possible, allegedly, maybe, in your experience, that he didn't have any sort of autoimmune disease or any kind of issues with gut health prior to joining Amway. 5 years into Amway, has to have emergency bowel resectioning and continues to have flare-ups until you guys are about to leave. And then when trying the vitamins just randomly after being almost clean for a year, tries the vitamins and doesn't get a flare-up, but gets those same familiar gut pains again. So I'm not saying it is Amway, but I'm also not saying that it isn't Amway. And I think even this is something that's concerning for somebody who maybe already has gut health issues or Crohn's disease. I don't have a gallbladder. I wouldn't want to take something that caused other people with gut health issues to have flare-ups or to have surgery. This is something that I would like to know. I'm going to use a little bit of anecdotal evidence in deciding what products I want to use, what my friends say is good, what my friends say, oh, don't take that. It made me have this, or I had these issues. And we've heard so many stories about MLM products causing problems. I myself had issues with my gut health and my skin while using MLM products. Can I say that's what it was? No, but it didn't happen before and it doesn't happen after. So again, we talk about like the FDA regulation and how MLM helped deregulate the FDA with DSHEA so that they can get really anything into these supplements. We don't know what's in it. We don't know what it's filled with. We don't know if we can actually trust them. They've lied to us the entire time. Why would they be truthful about this one thing? And so it's very interesting to see how all of this kind of works, not only with your guys' timeline, but other people's stories of similar things as well. There's a big common denominator, and it's multi-level marketing. So my last question to tie everything up with a nice big bow is, what happened to the sister who was in the family pyramid?
Her husband actually works at the same company as Jay does. So they work together. So Jay is actually my brother-in-law's boss at this company that they work at. So my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, they were still involved. They were still kind of around, but you could just tell that things had shifted because we had obviously told Jake and Haley, which is my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, we had told them that, hey, we're walking away. Because we were a part of their team. We were directly underneath of them. So we had told them and we're like, hey, we're walking away, like X, Y, and Z. Here's what's going on. Things just aren't, you know, working out. Things just don't feel right. Like, we're done. Too much has happened for us to be like, okay with staying around. They were really actually supportive of it. They were like, we get it. We understand. We've seen that you've been through so much crap. We don't blame you. We love you. Like, we get it. There was no hard feelings between us and them. And they were very, like, understanding and supportive of us stepping away. Like, everything was fine between us and them, which is good because they're family. But then they would still go to like the weekly meetings and stuff. And I guess there was one weekly meeting where Jake, which is our brother-in-law, was there. And he happened to walk in on the two different upline couples, like basically talking crap about me and my husband and like just saying some not very nice things about us. Then as soon as they, you know, obviously saw Jake, they were like, oh, you know, and changed the subject and like started talking about other things. And it was just like, it was just weird. He was like, it was very strange. They basically kind of didn't really explain to people like why we walked away. Cause we had a team. We had a team of six. So 625 is what we had. So we had a decent sized team in the group we were in. We had like half the room. Okay. We weren't like just nobody, but we weren't like the people up above. We were well known. And yeah, they basically just like didn't tell the people like why we walked away. And they just were like, yeah, they just gave up on their dream. They're just a bunch of losers. They went and hung out with, you know, his brother and his wife over Christmas. And yeah, look, they came back and now look. And like, they just talked all this crap. And my husband and I, like, we even reached out to a couple of our downline that we were really close to. There was like three different couples. We were even in one of their weddings, like, and not just me and my husband, our kids was their ring bearer and their flower girl in their wedding. Okay. So we were close with this couple and we reached out to them and were like, hey, you know, I don't know if you know what's going on, but we love you guys. We're just, you know, we had to take a step away. Like, there's no hard feelings, no ill feelings, like whatever. We just got to do what we've got to do. And like, they were just like, okay, wish you the best with everything. Like, they like didn't want to talk to us anymore. And even since then, we've actually reached out to them a couple of times. We'll text them like, hey, happy birthday, or, you know, hope you're doing good, or, you know, whatever. We'll reach out to them a couple times. And like, it's very vague responses. One of the couples even quit responding to us. Like, they just don't text us anymore. The other one, it's just very vague. And it's so weird because like, we were so close with this one couple. Like, they literally lived right down the street from us. They don't anymore, but they did. And like, they would come over all the time and like just hang out like late night. We would play card games and like just hang out and chat and like not even like business stuff, just hang out as like friends. And then now that we've walked away, like we've even reached out to them a couple of times like, hey, y'all want to come over and hang out? Like, you know, we want to play games or anything? No, they won't come and hang out with us, nothing. So yeah, so it was just weird. So then yeah, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, they're still involved. They're still kind of there, but like weird things are happening. And it was just about 2 months ago. They walked away where they're like, yep, we're done too. Like but they kind of gradually did it. So they like kind of quit going to the board plans and then kind of quit going to conferences and like just kind of like they backed out very slowly. But yeah, they're done too. And I don't know that whole conversation, how that happened, because Jake still works with Jay. So I don't know how that happened. I'm assuming it's probably really awkward.
Wow. So the whole family's out.
Yeah. And I'm sure that Jay and Kay and A and E blame Colby and I for walking away. And that's why Jake and Haley walked away. I'm sure they probably blame us. But yeah. So we're all out now. We're out.
That's amazing.
And what's crazy now is like we're all out and like we've actually all hung out now outside of that. And it hasn't been like a holiday. Like it's just been like a random Sunday. Like, hey, let's do family dinner together. And we'll all get together at one of our houses and like hang out and talk. And like we're so much closer now than we ever were when we were all three in business. Like that's what's so weird.
Does Amway ever come up at those dinner conversations?
Oh, yeah. But it's usually bashing.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah, it's usually like bashing, I can't believe this, or did you know that, or like just all this, yeah.
I'm so proud of you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's crazy.
I think it's so cool. In my notes, I drew a little pyramid so that I could like remember where everybody is. And like as we're talking, I was like checking them off to be like, okay, they're out. And the pyramid is totally crossed off now. So I was like, this is great. It's amazing kind of like how everything came in and then came out and all of the relationships are still intact. And you guys, even when you were in and out and there was kind of like a mix of all of it, you still kept those relationships intact, which is fantastic. I think a lot of times people, especially I think it's like the friendship stuff, it's easy to cut somebody off that you don't know that well. These are family members that you see and love and care about, but it's like the best case scenario. To know that everybody's out and everybody understands and are on their healing journey to figure out what actually y'all just went through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, there for a while, it was really awkward when Cody and Maggie had walked away. But like the other two couples of us were still there. It was awkward. And like I said, we were obviously discouraged, like, don't talk to them and all this crap. But like, they're family, so we're going to talk to them. But like being out, all of us out, like our relationship is so much closer. And like Maggie and I just, we just talk about it all the time and we just like bash it and we just like laugh. And then we're also like, I can't believe we did that. I can't believe that happened. And like, it's just so funny now looking back at all of it.
I think it would be a fun conversation to have you all in the same room.
You know what? I actually told my sister-in-law, Maggie, that I was going to talk to you today. And she was like, oh my gosh, no way. I was like, yeah. And she was like, you'll have to let me know how it goes. She would probably totally be down to talk.
Yeah, Maggie. Call to action to Maggie calling Maggie.
I guarantee it. Yeah. And honestly, I bet my husband's brother-in-law and sister probably would too. We probably all could.
Well, there's an open invitation. This has never happened before. So I've never had like a whole pyramid. It's like, we'll talk to you. Like, I'm like, let's do this.
That's typically how they do it. When you start, like if you have siblings, they start the one sibling and then they start the rest of you underneath because y'all probably know the same people. So you can branch out. There's several cases of it in our LOA of sibling, and like, yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Well, call to action to every single person involved. You want to share as little or as much as you'd like. I mean, I feel like there's people listening to this episode right now going, I have questions for that family.
Oh, probably.
So send them the questions too, because I also have questions. Well, wow. So how are you feeling now? Everybody's out. You guys, your family is stronger than ever. Life is coming back to normal again.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Life has been so good this past year. I remember just talking to my husband about it actually just a few weeks ago. And I was just like, look at how different our life is now. Because like when we were involved, we obviously had to have like the business building jobs and like maybe they weren't jobs that we loved, but like it allowed us to build our business and like, you know, do all the things we're supposed to do. And now since being out, I actually had a job that I loved. I just chose not to go back to work because I just had our third baby. So like I'm staying home now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a cutie. So I'm staying home now with him. But like my husband, he just started his own roofing business back in May, was not allowed to do that in the business. You can't be double-minded. You got to have your mind on one business. So like that was heavily discouraged when we were involved. Now, fast forward, he started his own business and like it's crazy how profitable it's been. I feel like my husband and I's relationship is so much better because like we can actually talk about things. Like I can actually tell you like, hey, I don't feel okay with this and like not have to pretend that I'm okay. Man, I was kind of fake. Like, or like I just maybe blinded myself to like having any other emotions besides being happy or like pretending to be happy. It's weird.
Yeah, you squeeze yourself into that cookie cutter shape of what you're supposed to be. And once you're free of the shape, you're like, oh my God, my life is so much better. I don't think I've met anybody who's like, my life was better in the MLM. Life is so much better after MLM. And that's the thing that like, I really want people to understand. The lies they tell you that like people that leave are losers and, you know, they get stinking thinking and they're just never going to make it or whatever, you know, it's not true.
No.
They're lies.
I truly actually feel free and like myself. It's okay that I had a job that I loved. That's okay. Like that's 100% okay. It's okay that my husband started his own business and like loves it. And that's okay. Like it's okay that we have friendships and like we don't have to try and recruit them and do all these things. Like it's just crazy to me how manipulative and brainwashed we were. And that was something our upline always said all the time. Well, a little brainwashing never hurt anybody. Have you ever heard anything getting hurt from being washed?
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute. But you know, you just go with it. When you're in, you just go with it. You're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like people have a lot of pink laundry that shouldn't be pink that got washed and came out not for the better. So that is debunked right there. Stupid, stupid analogy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Mariah. And again, open call to your family if they'd like to come and share their story as well. Fit more puzzle pieces into this story.
Yeah.
Thank you for being so candid and vulnerable and sharing all of these things. And I don't know, man. I don't trust MLM supplements. Too many horror stories.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, no. Thank you, Roberta, for having me on. I was so excited to chat with you. So
yes, it's been a very fun afternoon, I'll tell you that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Are you ready to do some rapid fire questions with me?
Yes, hit me with them.
Okay. Give me one word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
Manipulative.
Give me a piece of advice, maybe another young couple who's stuck in something like this. What would you tell them?
I would tell them to do their research on things, because that was something that I did not do. You know, they always told you like, oh, don't go Google things. Don't go listen. Don't do this. Don't do that. So I just didn't. And now I wish I would have, because it might have saved me 10 years. You know, I'm kind of like Stefan and Jenna. Like, I spent my entire 20s involved in this. So I just highly encourage people to do their research before getting involved.
Yeah. What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
Oh my gosh, I think you know the answer to that one. But yeah, Amway, 100%. Amway, it is the worst one.
What is the hardest lesson that you learned from your time in Amway?
I think the hardest thing I had to learn was, well, one, who I like truly was as a person, and how to like think for myself now being out of it. Like, it's okay that I think certain things about a certain way, but also just like who I can trust and who my real friends were. Because I was, you know, I thought these were my real friends. And like when we walked away, it was like kind of like a shock that they didn't care and they didn't want to reach out and didn't talk to us. And yeah.
And finally, a positive takeaway from your time in multi-level marketing.
I will say that although I have a lot of regrets and a lot of like anger towards everything, I am thankful for some of the people skills that we did learn. Because now it has helped my husband with his actual business, his roofing business, with like how to, you know, deal with people and like have those people skills. So I will say that has been helpful. And when I say deal with people, I don't mean like manipulate people. I mean like actually genuinely connect with people and like care about people, that kind of thing.
I love hearing that there's positive in this, because you guys really went through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, nobody can say that we didn't try. Nobody can say that we weren't loyal. Nobody can say that we didn't go through things, because we went through some of the hardest things in our life while trying to pursue this business. And it's not going to grow. It's not going to. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it just, that was one thing that I thought about too, is it was like, nobody can say that we didn't try or do what we were supposed to do or go through hard things, because we did. And it still wasn't working, because it's not going to work. Like, it's just for the person at the top, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yes.
And I think a great contribution to the wellness aspect of this season. And I really appreciate you and your husband for letting us in on this journey and sharing your story with us today.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. You are so welcome. And thank you for chatting.
Of course. Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast, or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our triple emerald princess of robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hunts.